Welcome to the Shift Spotlight Podcast. I'm Winter, your host and VP of Strategy at GCE Strategic Consulting. GCE are business transformational experts that provide fractional and executive leadership services that help business owners and CEOs shift from working in the business to working on the business. Our podcast was created to celebrate CEOs, visionaries, and the EOS community, all while promoting your business to our remarkable and influential network. We are excited to celebrate your stories of change, challenge, success, and shifts you've made happen along the way. The Shift Spotlight is always looking for podcast guests. Go to shiftspotlight.com to apply today. We'd love to have you. Hey, everybody. It's Winter with the Shift Spotlight, and today we are here with Ryan Hogan. He is the CEO of Talent Harbor and can be found at talentharbor.com. So welcome to the show, Ryan.
Awesome. Thanks so much. Appreciate it. Happy to be here.
Okay. Well, let's start out with a little fun first. What is an interesting fact about you that people may not know?
Oh, gosh. Well, I was the founder of a company called called Run For Your Lives, which doesn't show up very well on LinkedIn or my resume. And it was the first ever zombie-infested 5-kilometer obstacle course race. and the crazy part, like first product market fit story, it scaled and it was incredible, but very quickly learned everything not to do in business and it bankrupted. So that doesn't show up very often. And people might not know that.
Zombies love it. That's unique and original. Your first company is an entrepreneur bankrupting. That is not unique and unusual.
Welcome
to the party. Yeah. Okay. So why don't you tell us at a high level what it is that you do?
Yeah. So at Talent Harbor, what we do is we like to say we hunt hunters, which is we find the top 1% of salespeople out there and we connect them with great organizations.
And so tell us a little bit about how your journey into that and becoming a CEO of that type of business evolved.
Yeah, I think, you know, for me, every time that I've started a business, it's been about, generally speaking, a problem that I have, or at least a problem that I identified. And what was really interesting is like, I'm not a recruiter by any stretch, and I don't pretend to be a recruiter. If anything, like I probably got hiring wrong more times than I got it right throughout all of my entities. But one thing was true is when I brought a subject matter expert into the organization, we were able to kind of level up in talent. So whether it was like me going to Indeed and LinkedIn and all of those other platforms, or like bringing in an expert recruiter. And so my last company, we spent about $1 million on recruiting over a 6-year period. And I was like, what a stupid industry. And apologies to any recruiters out there. It's just that there's been no evolution in like thinking or process or mindset for like 50 years. And there's really kind of a lack of trust and transparency in the industry. And so I looked at that as an opportunity. So I sold Hunt to Killer 2 years ago and took about 6 months off. Business coach came to me and was like, you're not gonna be able to sit still. Go look at your P&L, pick your favorite line item. Again, for me, it was people, investment, development, coaching, all of that. But I just looked at how much we spent on recruiting. I was like, there's a better way to do this. And so called the best recruiter that we ever used at Hunt to Killer. And I was like, I'm gonna launch a recruiting firm. And she was like, you're not a recruiter. And I was like, that's why I called you. And so we launched the firm about 2 years ago and we think about everything differently.
I love that. And I love that it just took you looking at your P&L. That's something a lot of other CEOs honestly don't do as much as they should. Or even if they do, they may not fully understand it. But you looked and said, there's a problem. I'm going to come up with a solution. So I love that. We all know running a business is hard, and we are going to talk about the mistakes you made along the way. But before we do that, let's talk about something that you did right.
Well, I think, you know, for me, and this might be one of my superpowers, is the speed at which I can find product market fit. And it's not because like I'm brilliant. It's not because I've got the best ideas in the world. It's truly because I don't care about failing. I don't seek failure. I don't wake up every morning and put on clothes and I'm like, today we're going to fail.
Yeah.
But I understand that failure is a part of the journey. It's a part of the process. And the faster we can fail is the faster we can learn. And so like, I am not attached to my ideas. And so what happens is like, you develop a hypothesis based upon the information and the market and your experience and expertise and all these different things. That's the hypothesis you take to market. And then as fast as humanly possible, you collect the signals and the data points from the market to iterate the product to make sure that you're solving the right problems for the right market. So I've gotten that, like I've gotten it wrong, but I've gotten it more right than I have wrong.
Yeah. And so what's one of the common mistakes that companies make when hiring salespeople? Because, you know, everybody says, hey, that, you know what, this quarter, this happened, that happened. You know what we need? We need a salesperson. That's going to solve it all. That's what we need to do. So what are some of the common mistakes? Because I have seen CEOs tend to hire them out of fear, out of recently looking at their P&L, out of a way to find a solution, and they sort of like make irrational hires. And so tell us about the mistakes and what people do right.
Yeah. Well, I think, you know, here's the funny part about recruiting is that recruiting is always an emergency.
Totally.
And like when people come to us, like they are already suffering. They are that pain is so prominent that like they need a solution now. I have never, and even myself, like I've never experienced where someone comes in, they're like, you know, about 12 months from now, we're going to need somebody. No, like somebody in their organization is operating at 120%. We need to offload. Or, like you said, there's a sales problem. They're like, we're going to fix it with this. And so now it's a rush because they want to fix that problem as fast as humanly possible. And yes, it creates irrational decisions. And the other thing there is like, then everything is rushed. And the thing that I see most organizations get wrong when it goes to recruiting is they don't take the time to sit down and really think about what the organization needs. So, you know, the entrepreneurial operating system, which is something that is like near and dear to me over the last 8 years, there's this whole notion of the accountability chart, or the organizational chart, which is what probably 90% of people know it as. And first, like really looking at that and understanding what the organization needs and where this is going to fit into the puzzle. And then, like, it doesn't stop there because when you think about sales, the sales process for every organization is different. Like, do you need a hunter? Do you need a farmer? And when we say hunter and farmer, like hunter going out and drumming up business and like hitting the street, picking up the phone, doing all the things that a hunter should do. Or is it a farmer, where the leads are coming in through some capacity and what they need to be is like a closer. And like that's at like the very surface level. But there's so many like where are the leads coming from? If it's a hunter, like do they already have an established network in that market based upon the ICPs, the ideal client profiles that organization is already going after? So for me, it's like it's really about the preparation before you ever hit the market with the search.
Right. And so, why are passive candidates often better hires than applicants who are truly like actively job hunting?
Yeah, you're gonna get me in trouble on this podcast. This is generally a hot take.
Okay, I want to
And
rewind on that. So I haven't gotten in trouble yet, but I really do want to get in trouble one time. And what I want to do is like, you know, like Drunk History. Have you ever watched that show?
no, that sounds
It's like these people get up and they just get wasted and they talk about history. So they're like, yeah, you know, and he blah blah blah, and then he took over, and you know, they're just wasted talking about like some historical event. So I want to do like a Shift Spotlight podcast with CEOs and just get them wasted and be like, okay, like where'd you really screw up, and have them be like, well, blah blah blah, like they do on this show, because it's like so funny. So
I love it.
you're not in trouble, but I am a troublemaker, so I would like to see that happen. But go ahead, get in trouble.
Yeah, because like, and I've said this before on LinkedIn. Usually, the hot takes I have is like making fun of the recruiting industry, and then the recruiters come out of the woodworks. And I said something a couple years ago. Actually, it was last year, and I was just like, "Your next best hire is not on LinkedIn, auto applying to thousands of open roles." Here's the reality. Great salespeople are few and far between. And the thing is like they are compensated well and they are out there hitting the streets. They are out there selling. And organizations don't want that to stop. And so, like, they're not actively looking. And so the reality is like you have to go find, you have to go hunt hunters. You have to go proactively have their information. And so, like, those are database licenses, or, for us, we've got a whole bunch of amazing, incredible salespeople inside of our database. But it's having access to that information and then proactively going out and selling them. Because the other thing that I think a lot of organizations forget is, like, recruiting is a sales process. I used to think like this as well, where I'm like, oh, it's my company and people like should want to come to my company. Like, no, like there has to be a reason for that person to take the risk and quit their job and come to yours. So I think, like, first and foremost, the hunters are too busy hunting and not on job boards, auto applying to hundreds of different of open roles. And then the second part is, like, even after you, like, have their information and you can go and touch base with them, like, then the sales process to influence the decision for them to bring into your organization.
That. Yeah. Understood. So let's shift gears and let's talk about your company. So, how many employees do you have?
We just crossed 15.
15.
15.
So, are we in a growth mode right now?
We're in hyper growth mode. So we're still early days. We've iterated our business model so much, but a year ago there was three of us. It was myself, Alana, my partner, and we had one recruiter in-house. And we have rapidly grown. We're onboarding about one to two recruiters each month right now.
Hi, I am Ken Paskins, the CEO of GCE Strategic Consulting. After decades of helping companies from pre-revenue startups to Fortune 50 giants, I wanted to create something that every leader could use right now. That's why we built the CEO Navigator. It is a custom GPT that helps you uncover real root causes of business challenges, build a focused 90-day plan, and even expose blind spots across your business that you don't yet see coming. This is not just artificial intelligence. It's built upon decades of proven operator experience, distilled in a tool that you can start using today. To explore further, please go to gcestrategicconsulting.com/CEO-navigator-GPT and see for yourself how it can help you lead with clarity and confidence.
So, as you've scaled your business, what challenges have taken you by surprise and how have you handled them?
I like this is such a relevant topic. I'll give you the thing that we're working on right now. We can process this issue in real time. Product market fit has a different definition for people. Like, my definition of product market fit is this predictability, recurring revenue. And I realize, like, there's a lot of great organizations out there that are very transactional and they do incredibly well. For me, that's not the type of business that I want to run. I think organizations spend so much time, money, energy into acquiring clients just to have a transactional relationship that makes no sense to me. And so for us, it's all about product market fit means we have a product that is sticky enough that people stay with us a long time. And so, like, one of the things that kind of caught me by surprise was our whole model is called RaaS, or recruiting as a service. And I was like, this is going to be brilliant
That's,
because
I could get in trouble with RAS. Just that word right there. I mean, there's a lot of ways I could skin that cat, but go ahead.
Yeah. And that's, like, the thing that shouldn't have surprised me, but did surprise me was we're about, 8 or 9 months into this new product, and we have great sales, we have great closing, like everything is just working. And then we turn around and what we realized is that the organizations that we serve do not have an ongoing need for active searches. And so, like, if we looked at this from a churn standpoint, basically every 3 months, maybe 2 months to 3 months, we're recycling about 100% of our client base. And that's a very happy occasion for us because, like, we ring a bell every time, we have a placement. We've had 107 placements over the last 12 months. Like, these are things we're incredibly proud of.
Right.
At the same time, like, that is a very churn intensive, like,
Yeah,
refilling the bucket.
totally.
So, like, what's caught us by surprise and what we're processing right now is, like, how do we shift and how do we continue to provide value for our clients, but do it across a longer period of time?
Yeah, totally. You said you've been in EOS for 8 years. What has that journey been like? How, like, tell us, how did you even come across it? What is, tell us about that.
Yeah, it was life-changing. It absolutely life-changing. So when I think about we talked a little bit about the bankruptcy, and I made myself a promise. I was active duty Navy at the time. Now I'm in the reserves. But at that point, the company bankrupted. I got a commissioning at the same time. It's a whole nother conversation. But I made myself a promise. And I said, if I'm ever lucky enough to find product market fit again, because Hunt a Killer scaled from 0 to 5 million over 2 years. And so it was a very hyper growth company and just fell off the face of the earth.
Yeah.
I was like, if I'm ever lucky enough to repeat that, I'm going to find a group of people that have been there, done that. And so when Hunt a Killer started to take off, and I separated from active duty service, the first thing I did was I joined Vistage. And it was just kind of happenstance. I reached out to a buddy that had been running a tint company that I'd known since he was tinting my cars in his parents' garage. And he was like, oh,
you mean car tint, not like tents for kids and stuff like that, like car tinting. Like, remember?
Oh, car tint. It's the Baltimore twang in my voice. But yeah, so he was like, oh, I'm a part of this thing called Vistage. And I was like, sounds great. Sign me up. And so I joined Vistage in 2017. And then Dan Wallace, of all people, which is one of the most respected EOS implementers, came through my group, handed out all the orange books, and my life changed at that point. So between Vistage and EOS, like, one gave me a group to process issues, and the other gave me a framework in which to operate the business.
Perfect. So what advice would you give to aspiring entrepreneurs or leaders who are just starting their journey?
You know, for that, it really depends upon like where they're at in the process. Like if it's brainstorming an idea or things like that, the big thing is like just getting started. What I see a lot of people that want to become an entrepreneur, but never make the leap is because they're overanalyzing. My first business was a t-shirt company, and I had a 120-page business plan for it. And then I launched and nobody showed up. So like we launched a website, and nobody purchased any shirts. And that's how the zombie business came about, because I had a garage of 200,000 t-shirts in it. And so
rip them up. Let's rip them all up and put them on people.
That was it. Like, that's exactly. So like I sold those shirts to the event company once it took off. And that's how we got out of it.
I love it.
But the reality is like business plans are meaningless. Like you just have to start. You have to come up with some hypothesis. You can develop that hypothesis by entering markets, talking to people, understanding what their problems are and trying to figure out solutions for those problems. But you just have to start. And that's the biggest holdup I see with a lot of people.
Yeah. All right. Just a few more questions here. So where do you see yourself investing resources for growth over the next year?
For us, it's pouring into relationships. It's not that I have a favorite with our core value, but this is just happens to be number one on our list. And it's called Go Givers. And it's based upon the book. So when someone onboards at our company, we give them the book Go Givers. And we say also, like, literally Go Givers is our first core value. And the whole thing is in Go Giving is giving without expectation, giving with the core belief that, like, if you do good and put goodness into the world, the world has this weird way of kind of balancing itself out. And so when I think about areas that we're investing, like, we're investing not just time, like, we invest real money into these relationships. We do events. We rent this big house on the Chesapeake Bay, and we bring a whole bunch of our partners in, and we have a seafood boil and crab cakes and, you know, you name it. And I realize, like, there's other companies that are like, oh, we're going to invest in AI. We're going to invest in this. For us, like, we invest in relationships.
Yeah. I love that. And what people... You know, I'm in sales. I have a long, extensive background in luxury real estate. And, you know, people are always like, in the foreclosure market, I was crushing it. And the high market, I was crushing it. Like, a lot of people didn't make it through the various different markets, right? Yep. And everybody's like, well, how did you do it? How did you do it? And I'm like, you know, I took care of people. And that's it, period, end of story. There's no magic advertising. There's no, you know, do this 100 times and it's going to work. You just take care of people and then people take care of you. They just tell all your friends about you. So, relationships is high on my list for sure, because sales is relationship and that's technically what you're selling. So, okay. And final question, if somebody listening wanted to take the next step with you, what should they do?
Yeah. Find me on LinkedIn and you can send me an email, ryan@talentharbor.com. But if you just want to jam on like entrepreneurial topics or talk about talent or anything like that, either email or you can find me on LinkedIn, Ryan Hogan. It's got a weird picture of a superimposed mustache. So you can't miss me on LinkedIn, and let's connect.
Awesome. Thanks so much for being here today.
Sweet. Thanks, Winter. Appreciate it.
Thank you for listening to the Shift Spotlight podcast. If you are a business owner, CEO, founder, visionary, or of the EOS community seeking recognition for your exceptional expertise while gaining exposure through our remarkable network, we are actively searching for podcast guests who can bring their inspiring stories to light, and we'd love to showcase your journey. Please visit shiftspotlight.com to apply today. And if you are a listener, I'd love to give a shout out to your business to our whole audience for free. All you have to do is leave a review on Apple Podcasts or follow our newsletter on LinkedIn by searching GCE Strategic Consulting. Your thumbs up, ratings, and reviews go a long way to help promote the show, and it means a lot to me and my team. We believe that every person has a message that can positively impact the world. We love our community who listens and shares our program, so hit subscribe to be inspired and motivated. I promise to bring positivity and inspiration to you and your growing business. We will see you next time.